Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is such a joy to be with you and to have this opportunity to open God's Word with you and for you and to be with you, Lord willing, for the next couple months. I'm just so thankful for this opportunity. I think it's going to be a real blessing for me and my family, and I'm hoping and praying for this church family as well. I bring you greetings from saints far to the west of here. We just sang about as far as east is from west, and we've come a long way, so we know a little bit of that metaphor personally in the last couple weeks. But I greet you from brothers and sisters in the RPCNA in various places to the west of here. My plan is to do a short series on the Lord's Prayer, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, my plan is to take the next 8 weeks to go through this line by line. That might seem like a rather slow pace, but each line, each petition of the Lord's Prayer is loaded with both theology and truth about God, but also guidance for our piety and our practice and our prayer life. And the Lord's Prayer has historically and traditionally been a vital part of the discipleship and training of the church. That's reflected in the catechisms that you can see. Look at our own catechisms. There's large sections on the Lord's Prayer, and I commend those to you. Or works of theology often included expositions of the Lord's Prayer. This was seen as part of the 1, 2, 3s and ABCs of the Christian life, learning to pray, learning from Jesus' specific teaching on the Lord's Prayer. So I'm not going to be very ambitious this morning. We're going to look at the first 4 words and hope that we can get through the introduction or the preface of the Lord's Prayer this morning. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 6 and then go down through the Lord's Prayer and then also read a few verses from the next chapter. Keep in mind, this is within Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So what's called the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle, Jesus teaches us about prayer. And one final thing I'll point out before I read is just notice how Jesus speaks about when you pray. He assumes that we will be praying. He does the same thing with charitable deeds, giving, and later fasting. It doesn't say if you pray, or if you're a spiritual person, or if you like to pray, or if you believe in praying, you know, pray this way. Jesus says multiple times when you pray. He expects and assumes that His people, the children of the Father, will be a people of prayer. And so keep that in mind as you hear God's Word. Well, let's give our attention now to the Word of God. Matthew 6, I'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through 13 and then have a brief reading from chapter 7 as well. Please hear now the infallible, perfect Word of God. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Keep your finger there in chapter 6 and turn over just briefly to chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, where Jesus speaks a little bit more about prayer and also refers to God as our good Father in heaven, who's eager to help us and answer us. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" That's where we'll end the reading of God's Word, and let's stop and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do ask and seek and knock from You this morning that You would give us the good gift of Your Holy Spirit and of an understanding of Your Word, and hearts that would be receptive to Your truth. Lord, bless us this morning, but not just this morning, but in the coming weeks as we give ourselves to this manner of prayer that Jesus spoke of and taught us about. Lord, make us a people of prayer. Make us a people of faith as we look to You and call upon You as our Father. We thank You that You are our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, because You sent Your Son to shed His blood for us. And You do have pity on us and compassion as a Father, and You've put away our sins as far as the east is from the west. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear this morning. Use Your Word to work life in our hearts and in our lives for Your glory and for our good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. Names and titles are significant. We are not in the South, but the way we address people is important. It carries a lot of meaning. For example, we may address people in authority with titles of respect. Growing up in sports, I was taught to call the official sir and not hey ref. If you are ever stopped by a car with flashing lights, and I'm sure none of you ever have been, but you're to call that person in the uniform officer. We refer to judges as Your Honor. Or think of the difference between calling your dad old man versus father. The one name, the one title conveys respect and love, and the other not so much. Other names and titles convey closeness and love, familiarity. Think of terms of endearment or nicknames that you might use for loved ones. Or just think of the simple title, son, daughter, mom, dad, wife, husband. Those are not used just by anyone, but by members of a family closely related to one another. You see, the way we address people says a lot about our relationship to them, who they are and how we view them, what we think of them, what we know of them. Well, in much the same way, how we address God is significant, It's of greater significance. It conveys who He is and who we are. It speaks of our relationship to Him. And so it's not surprising that Jesus, as He teaches us about prayer, gives us direction as to how to speak to God, how to address God. And what we'll see is that we're taught to pray to Him in a close, personal, and trusting way, as well as with deep respect and reverence for His power and authority and for who He is. And this is captured in the balanced and carefully crafted and most significant words, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray with a personal trust and familiarity to our Father as children, and also with reverence and awe to the Almighty God who is in heaven, who is above us. And so in this very first line of the Lord's Prayer, the very first line of this prayer, Jesus calls you as the people of God to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Call upon the Lord as children to a Father, your Father in heaven. Well, the outline this morning is very simple and straightforward. We're going to consider just three simple points, and they're the three parts of this address. We're going to consider the title Father. We're going to consider the words in heaven, and then finally, the word our Father. So first of all, Father. Jesus says, pray our Father in heaven. Why call Him Father? Jesus says, when you pray, pray to your Father. Call Him our Father. Think of and trust and come to God as a child would come to a father. Now we need to understand that this requires, first of all, faith. No one can know God or truly call on God as Father apart from faith, and apart from faith in Jesus, in His Son. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And so I want us to pause right at the outset and make sure that we are all clear on this one thing. You can't truly pray. You can't sincerely call upon God and address God as Father apart from faith in Jesus Christ. If you've not put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, then you actually have no right to God as your Father. You are a sinner in rebellion against Him. And you need to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. Faith is the starting point for all true prayer. And even those who have come to Christ already or many, many years ago must pray to your Father by faith and through faith in Jesus. This is why we pray in His name. Because apart from Jesus, God is not our Father and has no reason to listen. Apart from Him, we are rebels and not children. And so this title, Father, is so significant. There are so many names and titles for God used in the Bible. And yet Jesus intentionally chooses this title, this name, Father. And if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, the broader context of where we are in Matthew here, he calls God Father 16 times in the Sermon on the Mount. You can tell Jesus wants us to know and to relate to and to pray to God as our Father, and that's intentional and very significant. God is our Father because of the gospel, because He's adopted us as His children. We were once children of wrath. We were not children of God. We were lost and dead in sin. But as Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, in love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus. John 1 verse 12 says that all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Adoption is a work of God's grace and love and power that brings us into the spiritual family of God and lets us call on Him as Father. We can call God Father only because of His work through the Son in the gospel. And this is an amazing privilege that we can call God Father, that we have access to Him. I want you to imagine that you wanted to speak directly to the governor, the governor of your state. And politics aside, imagine you wanted to speak with him and have a nice conversation. Well, there would be multiple layers to go through. You would likely have to fill out a request form. His personal phone number would not be available to you. It's not open to the public. And any number you might find on a government website would send you to an office assistant or a secretary. But even if you made your way through all the layers and through the security and the background checks, and you actually got a short face-to-face meeting scheduled with the governor, it's likely that you wouldn't actually know him and he wouldn't know you. You would call him Mr. Governor, not Tom or Hey Wolf. Or friend. You see, you have no direct access to him. You don't have a relationship with him. But now imagine that you were the governor's son, though. What if you were his son? That would be a lot different, wouldn't it? That'd be a lot different if he was a good father. If you needed him, you could call. You would have his number. You could call and say, Dad, it's me. And he would answer. And he would give you access. Well, friends, this is the access you have to the God of all the universe. And yet, it's much better. You have the right to speak to him 24/7. He says, come and talk anytime. You don't have to go through secretaries. You don't have to go through priests or a pastor. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You can just come and say, Father, in heaven, hear me. And God is far more glorious and powerful than an earthly governor. And yet he says, there's a wasp. That's not what he says, but excuse me. Where was I? let me find myself in my notes here. Yet God says, call me Father. Call me Father in heaven. How can this be? It's because, as we've already said, His only Son came to live and die for you and unite Himself to you and adopt you as His children, His heirs, give you His Spirit, give you all the rights and privileges as sons and daughters, make you members of His family, His household. What a privilege that is. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7 tells us that at just the right time, God sent His Son to redeem and adopt sinners as His sons. And He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts so that we can call out to Him, Abba, Father. This is why we can, brothers and sisters, and this is why we ought to address God as Father. You have a right. You have access to Him. And so, do you see something of the significance of this title, Father? I think if you were to ask many young kids, who is the strongest person that you know? If you ask them that question, who's the strongest person that you know? Often I think they'll say, well, Dad, obviously. And in my household, that better be the answer, right? He's the greatest. He's the strongest. Well, friends, as children of God, you do have the greatest, strongest Father
in the world, even if you've had earthly fathers that have let you down or have been distant or that you don't know or you no longer have with you, God is a good father. He knows you. He knows what you need before you ask. He's so much better than earthly fathers who know how to give good gifts to their children, as we read in Matthew 7. And so come to Him boldly. Come to Him with confidence. Know that you have access to Him. Ask Him for what you need. Trust Him as you would a good earthly father to provide, to protect, to forgive you, to teach you, to never give up on you. Jesus, the Son of God, teaches you to come to God in prayer as children to your Father. To, as Calvin would say, crawl up into His lap, as it were, with love and awe and confidence, with trust and closeness. Believe in His Son and call Him Father. And call Him Father in heaven. Let's consider that second this morning. Our Father in heaven. Now, why do we say our Father in heaven? Why not just our Father? Well, God is not an earthly Father. And to remind us of that, to remind us of His divine majesty and His infinite greatness, and to help us address Him with humble respect, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. Now, you kids know that God is everywhere, right? God is everywhere present. He's an infinite spiritual being. He doesn't have a body like us. And so He's not located in one place at one time. And so when we pray to our Father in heaven, we're not so much talking about one place that He is in. God is everywhere. Now, it is true that God is present in a unique and glorious and special way in heaven with the angels and with Christ on His throne and with the glorified saints. And when we pray this, we should keep that in mind. We should remember His heavenly glory and His heavenly throne. But in heaven, here in the preface to the Lord's Prayer, I think has more to do with God's transcendence and His greatness. God is not earthly. He's not limited in any way. And this reminds us that He is God. There's nothing physical and earthly about Him, about God the Father. And so when you pray to God your Father, you come to Him as, yes, your gentle, forgiving, providing, adopting Father, but He's also the all-powerful God in heaven who cannot be contained by the heavens, who is outside of time and space, who sits above and over and outside of the entire created universe. He is infinite and eternal, unchangeable, otherworldly, heavenly. And it's because He is in heaven, because He is everywhere present, majestic, sovereign, not limited, not earthly like us, that we pray with reverence and awe and respect and humility, with faith that He's both able to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. You could have the nicest, most loving Father in the world who would do anything and everything for you. But in reality, earthly fathers can't do everything, can they? They are limited. They're limited in power and in wisdom. They can only be in one place at one time. They can't see into your heart. They can't give you a new heart. They cannot save you from your sins. They can't make you spiritually alive. They can't raise you from the dead. They cannot give you the Holy Spirit. They can't meet your greatest needs. They can't protect you from your greatest enemies. But God, your Father, can. He is your Father in heaven. He is none other than the God of heaven. If He weren't, then prayer would be pointless. And so this part of the preface, this way we address God, draws our faith to His almighty power and glory. It humbles us and calls us to approach Him with reverence and respect. And that, I think, assumed in the title Father. A father is an authority figure who's owed respect. But the words "in heaven" underline and emphasize this fact. And so we pray to our Father in heaven. If He wasn't our Father, we would have no right, no access to Him, no confidence that He loved us and cared for us. And if He wasn't in heaven, if He wasn't divine and all-powerful, the Creator, He would have no power and ability to hear our prayer or to answer our prayer. But He's both. He's Father and Heavenly Father. The Shorter Catechism highlights this in its question and answer 100. It says, "The preface teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father able and ready to help us." One writer put it this way: fatherly love on the one hand and transcendent greatness on the other are two qualities in God which the rest of the prayer assumes at every point. And so do you see how the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, the way Jesus teaches us to speak to God, strikes the right balance for us between familiarity and fear, between confident trust and humble reverence? It helps us to pause and remember who God is and all His love and greatness, and who we are as His earthly, needy, adopted children. Pray to your Father in heaven. Well, there's one more part of the preface, and that is the very first word, and I want us to consider that third and finally this morning. Jesus says, "Say, our Father in heaven." Oh, you are our Father. Look at verse 9 again. "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven." Jesus here calls you to pray together as children to your Father. Now, why do I say pray together? Where's that come from? Well, it comes from this short but powerful word. Jesus uses precise and intentional grammar here. This word, our, is a first-person plural possessive pronoun. Don't try to say that too many times quickly. You'll probably trip and fall. A first-person plural possessive pronoun. Now, that sounds really technical, but what that means is that with this word, Jesus is teaching us to claim personal ownership and relationship to the Father. He's not just a Father or the Father. He belongs to us. He is our Father. But the fact that this word is a plural means that He's not just my Father. The "our" stands for more than one person praying, one person claiming God as Father. It refers to a plurality of prayers. And the words and the grammar of the rest of this prayer reflect and confirm this. Look at the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, give" who? "Our daily bread." "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us." Jesus' model prayer is a prayer for His people as a whole, not just for individuals. There's no "I" or "my" in it. And this reminds us that we not only belong to God as our Father, but we belong to His family. We belong to each other. We have brothers and sisters who are also children of God, who need Him and love Him and speak to Him as well. It reminds us that while prayer should be a private practice of individuals, Jesus has already talked about that in Matthew 6, it is and it ought to be also a corporate practice of God's family together, of couples, of friends, of churches. Jesus assumes we will pray this. He assumes it will guide us in prayer with others. It leads us to pray with and for others. This plural pronoun here, our Father, reminds us that not only do I need daily bread, not only do I want God's kingdom to come, but so do all of God's children. It keeps us from being too self-focused in our prayer. It encourages us to think of ourselves in relation to the rest of the body of Christ, not just as a lone individual before God, but as a family that comes together to our Father. Think about how families do things together. They love each other. They speak to one another. They spend time together. They often eat together and pray together. Well, the same is true for the family of God. This is one reason why we spend a lot of time in worship in prayer. This is why we may have prayer meetings, or we may ask one another, how can I pray for you, or can I pray with you? This is why it's common to have prayer at Bible studies and before meals. This is why we might just meet up to talk and pray together. This is why again and again we see the early church praying together. This is why healthy and growing churches are always praying churches. They understand their dependence on their Father and each other. They know that they are a family and a team. And this is a point that I think needs to be reclaimed today, because we can tend to think primarily as individuals. Now, of course, we need a personal relationship, personal communion and prayer to our Father. We need our prayer closet. But we also need to pray with and for one another. We need to pray to our Father in heaven. We need to live as a family. And that's a lot easier to say than to do. It's so easy to isolate ourselves or become self-focused in prayer. Hopefully the past months have underlined the importance of fellowship, of prayer, of being together as the body of Christ, as many have not been able to be together. And so brothers and sisters, find ways to pray together. Pray for one another. Tell each other that you do so. Ask each other to pray together. Ask, what can I pray about for you? Take opportunities to pray together. Remember, you are part of a family locally and internationally. And Jesus would have you learn to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Well, by now, I think you all have the preface, the introduction to the Lord's Prayer memorized, if you didn't already. Our Father in heaven. You've heard me say it enough this morning. Our Father in heaven. And I would encourage you to often slow down as you think those words or pray those words and emphasize each word out loud or in your mind. And remember the significance of each one. Jesus specifically chose these words to begin his model prayer. Think about each one. Remember, I am an adopted child of God. He is my Father by grace through Jesus. He knows me. He loves me. He knows my needs. He cares for me that much. Wow. Remember, I'm speaking to the Father in heaven, the God who is above all, who is outside of time and space, who has none of the limits that I do, who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. What a gift. How I should trust Him, how we should humble ourselves before Him with reverence and awe. What reason to pray and to give thanks and to hope. And He is our Father. I am not alone. Countless brothers and sisters call Him Father with me, are walking by faith with me as His children. I ought to love them and pray for them and with them. What a privilege. Our Father in heaven. Dear children of God, brothers and sisters, don't skim over these words too fast. Learn from Jesus to speak and to pray these words intentionally with wonder and warmth and faith. Remembering you can take these words on your lips because Jesus died and rose again for you. People of God, pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do stop and wonder and praise you that this is the way you've taught us to speak to you. We are in awe of your love for us, that you would take us, sinners, rebels, children of wrath, and make us your children and be our Father. Give us life, bring us into your family, and let us call upon you at any time and any place through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. We thank you that you are our Father in heaven, that you are the Almighty God over all, that you have the ability to hear our prayer and answer and work all things together for our good and your glory. And we thank you that you also put us in your family, and that we pray together, we worship together, we make our pilgrim journey together. Remind us that we are not alone, but that we are in your family. And Lord, as your disciples asked so long ago, Lord, teach us to pray. Build up our faith. Let us pour out our hearts to you. Let us come to you with confidence and with closeness, but also with wonder and amazement and awe and respect. Keep our eyes fixed on Christ, because it's in his name we pray. Amen.